It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Well, thank you. I'm back at you.
Lots of work to do here. We've got quite a packet to get through. Another great show planned for all of you out there. We'll go through some headlines in the first and second segment and then talk with Brigitte Gabriel in the third and fourth segment. I'm pretty sure she's got a lot to say today.
Well, I have no doubt. She always does whenever she visits. And in terms of just our segments one and two, there is so much stuff in this package. We just basically need the whole day.
I know it, but we put it all together in this hour so that you can get your brain around what's going on with these issues. And you know that it's going to be jam-packed. You know that we are committed to strive for, to look for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property or their livelihood or I have all that memorized here, Steve, and I don't have it right here at my fingertips right now. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, government-induced inflation.
I think, again, the operative word there is compassionate. Maybe there was a time when government was compassionate, but I think those days are gone. That ship has sailed.
You know, I can't say that I ever think that government was compassionate. I think what they have done is PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, wanted to say that government was compassionate. That's the way they started all these government programs. But you look at these government programs, Steve, and they pick winners and losers. There is no way that you can take enough from the producers to give to all the people that will have their hand out under socialism. And so what it is instead of compassionate, now certainly there is some of that that has gone on. I mean, we've spent trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars on the war on poverty. And you know who's gotten rich on that is those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, and we still have poverty. Look at the homeless situation here in the Denver metro area. When John Hickenlooper, now Senator Hickenlooper, was mayor, he said, we are going to eradicate homelessness in Denver. So they started some government programs. Guess what? If they actually solve the problem, all those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are living off of your tax dollars to fight, and you can put in whatever industrial complex you want, homelessness industrial complex, affordable housing industrial complex, any of those, you take a look at that, and you can be assured that the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are probably doing their 40-hour work week. They're getting a healthy salary. They're going to have their pension at the end, all living off of everyday, hardworking Coloradans and Americans, their tax dollars.
Perhaps Hickenlooper was referring to the next time he's mayor.
What do you mean the next time he's mayor?
Well, that's the only conclusion. I mean, obviously his proclamation, it didn't come about, so he must have been talking about the next time.
The next time. Okay, well, that could be. And, that could be. So right now he's a senator, so he's probably solving problems in Washington, D.C. We see a lot of that going on right now, don't we?
Solving or creating?
Yeah, they create the problem, so then they come in and they want to say they're solving it. So let's continue on here. We've got a lot to talk about. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you will see all of the upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And this last weekend, we rolled out an excellent op-ed that Jay Davidson had written regarding monetary policy, and then also the podcast with Holly with Altitude regarding the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. What is occurring there is very important as well. So be sure and check those out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. One other thing, just wanted to make sure. When you go to the website, what Zach has done is there is a show recap, a daily recap with the podcast embedded in it. And all you have to do is just click on the picture, and he does some amazing images for the show, and that will bring up the day's recap and that podcast. So be sure and check that out. I am so excited. Right around the corner is U.S. Constitution Week. And it is in Grand Lake, Colorado, which is the home of the premier Constitution Week in all of America. It is September 13th through September 19th. And they're adding something in on Sunday the 19th. They're going to have a church service in the park, which I'm really excited about that. The main event is on Saturday. There's going to be a parade. It's just such a taste of Americana. And I have the great honor of emceeing the main event. Very excited about that. So you can go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com for more information. I would recommend that you get busy and get your accommodations nailed down, because it's probably going to sell out there, Steve. I think it's going to be a great weekend.
Well, certainly you are in your element when you're up there for that particular occasion. And I'm thinking, gee, I'd like to kind of get up there and see that. But you know, there's another organization that I give a lot of time to, and I'm thinking there might be a conflict. But you go.
I will, and if you can make it, I'd highly recommend that. And another great sponsor of the show is Hooters Restaurants. They sponsor both of the shows. They've been longtime supporters of the show, and they have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have these burger specials, and it's any of these specialty burgers and a side of curly fries for only $10. And they have a mushroom Swiss burger, a bacon blue burger, the Southwest burger, the Western burger, the mac and cheese burger, and the Cali burger. So be sure and check that out. You can go to my website, click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend all of them. I know them all personally. And click on the Hooters tab, and all those specials will come up. And again, all of you supporting the businesses that support the show, I greatly appreciate that. I have a very long inspiration wisdom, Steve, and I don't post on Facebook very often, but I saw this weekend, and I thought it was really, really important given what's going on in our world right now.
You need to take the time to do this. I've read through it twice now and thinking, how guilty am I? So go ahead.
Okay. So this is by C.S. Lewis. His given name was Clive Staples Lewis. He was a British writer and lay theologian. He held the academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He's best known for his works of fiction, especially the Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and the Space Trilogy, and his nonfiction Christian apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problem of Pain. He was born in 1898. He died in 1963. And this is what he said. This was written in 1948. He said, "How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of chronic pain, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, and an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madame, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. The first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about death. They may break our minds, or they may break our bodies. He says a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds.
I don't know better words for this time. And the guy, with the death that he's talking of here, is just, I don't know, he's genius. And again, guilty, I am.
Well, and I thought, and again, that was in 1948. Every generation has things to fear. And this idea now, with this tremendous fear that continues to be, it's just such a drumbeat of fear. And it's like, come on, we all got to get a hold of ourselves here. But let's go over to this piece that Patty found from the Mises.org. It says, vaccine mandates and the Great Reset. It says, pressure on the unvaccinated grows. While the vaccinated in some countries are getting back some of their freedoms taken away by the COVID interventions, the unvaccinated are not so well off. They are being targeted for discrimination. Access to public spaces and traveling is being made more difficult for them. In some countries, there is even mandatory vaccination for some professions. They go on to say, but why is the vaccination campaign so important to governments that they are increasing the pressure to such an extent? And who has an interest in the global vaccination campaign? To answer these questions, it is necessary to analyze the prevalent vaccination narrative and ask who benefits from it. In doing so, the alliance of interest between the state, the media, the pharmaceutical industry, and supranational institutions must be addressed. They start with the pharmaceutical industry. And it's obvious there, Steve, that it is about enormous profits from widespread vaccination.
Yes, we talked about that last week, right after Pfizer got the FDA nod. It must have been the next day that we saw that everybody who gets the jab, it's quote-unquote free. I'm doing air quotes here. But you know, either a government or an insurance company is picking up the tab. And we quickly saw that Pfizer is charging $18.50 per dose, per vaccine, in the U.S., but what they ship overseas, in this case, it was a Eastern European country, it was only $12 a dose.
Imagine that. A special deal for America, for sure. But, Steve, we need to continue now when we talk about Pfizer getting the approval for their vaccination. We had Pam Long on yesterday, and she is a former captain with the Army Medical Services. And what has happened? This has been the most interesting bait and switch. The FDA has given approval to, I think it's called Comirnaty, and that is a type of vaccine for the COVID-19. But what is interesting, that is not the vaccine that is being given, on a widespread distribution. Now, the one that is that people are getting is one that is still under the emergency use authorization. And it's important to understand that. And also the Comirnaty, you have to ask yourself, how on earth were they able to do the FDA trials on this? So the headlines say that the Pfizer vaccine has gotten approval, but it's not the one that most people are being jabbed with. And I think that is just so dishonest. It's so disingenuous. And one has to ask why. Why is the media not being truthful with us on this? They are supposed to be searching for truth in this whole thing, and they're not, Steve.
Well, maybe we move forward here in this article because it's so well written. There were three entities that they called out. Okay, we just now talked about Big Pharma. We'll get to the mass media here shortly. Politicians. Now, either it's funny because you think of the ones who are out there pumping up the fear and the hysteria, but there's also the ones who are pushing back. Either way, they're using, the whole situation to put themselves in the limelight. And unfortunately, too many of them are doing the fear and hysteria thing just so they can say the government is a savior from this great danger.
Yes, it's truly amazing. This is such an important piece. I would really recommend that you go to Mises.org and check this out on the mandates and the Great Reset. One other thing, Steve, can you believe, remember that there used to be this whole talk about tolerance, inclusion, and now as we take a look at these vaccine mandates, those that typically had really pushed this diversity and inclusion and coexist, that whole narrative, now many of them are the ones that now are targeting those that are choosing to not get this jab, that they are targeting them for discrimination. So let's just take that the policies that they're pushing forward, and instead of saying unvaccinated, put in the word black or minority or gay, or put those words in, there's no way that they would ever, quote unquote, tolerate that kind of division if in fact you used a different word. But how is it now that they actually are supporting discrimination about somebody that might look at something differently? And again, we had mentioned the survival rate is over 99% for anybody over the age under the age of 70, and 70 and up, the survival rate is, I think, 94.7. And one has to ask, why, with those kinds of survival rates, is all of this fear being stoked and this control taken of our lives? Your comment, Steve.
Well, it does create division, which we know is a very important tool in the left's toolkit. So I just like to think, it just came to me this past weekend, we're looking towards, you know, tomorrow we take a major step towards fall and winter, and obviously your thoughts turn to, you know, the holidays. And to think that maybe your ability to, you know, interstate travel could be totally cut off. You know, just to think of that possibility, it's very sobering.
I've been thinking about that as well. Can you imagine trying to go across the state line and that you would have a checkpoint there with the request, papers, please? What does that remind you of? It's unbelievable.
Oh, we go there often, but it's real. How many different situations take us back to 1930s Germany?
I know it. I know it. That's why it is important that we, as we talked with General Arbuckle yesterday, is we need to understand our Constitution. It was put there for a reason. It was put there for a time such as this. And we need to unify around this idea, this American idea, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And when you have politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are trying to take, to control your life and take your liberty and prevent you from pursuing your happiness, we know that we've got the wrong people in charge there. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I appreciate all of you who support us as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And I want to invite all of you to U.S. Constitution Week up in Grand Lake. It is the home of the premier Constitution Week celebration in all of America. It's September 13th through September 19th. They're going to have a flyover, maybe two different flyovers, and so it's going to be a great time. It is such, it's one of my most favorite places in the whole country, Steve.
Well, I've seen the pictures that they post every year. I've seen their website. It's all very, like you said, Americana.
It is fantastic, and I love the parade on Saturday afternoon, so be sure and check that out. Steve, let's go over to this. This is from Judicial Watch. It says, the court rules Judicial Watch lawsuit can proceed against Colorado officials to force cleanup of state's voters' rolls. And Judicial Watch filed this lawsuit in October of 2020 in the U.S. District Court for the District of Colorado on behalf of itself and three residents of Colorado against Jenna Griswold, Colorado Secretary of State, in the state of Colorado, for failing to clean the state's voter rolls as required by the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. The court's recent ruling to allow Judicial Watch's claims to proceed came after Colorado's motion to dismiss the case, which the court denied in all key aspects. Let's just stop and think about that for just a minute. Jenna Griswold in the state of Colorado says that they don't want to clean up our voter rolls. One has to ask why, right, Steve?
Well, you know, the way this thing reads is that, you know, the state filed a motion to dismiss right off the bat. And it's like, wait a minute, why time and time again, you had the opportunity to do something to take the spotlight off of you and this whole notion of maybe having an election that was less than stellar, and you bypass it. You do something that basically shows, you know, why is the there, as you say?
Mm-hmm. And these officials, such as Jenna Griswold and different county clerks, they continue to tout that Colorado is the gold standard. How can you be the gold standard if you're not cleaning up your rolls? But let's very quickly go through what this lawsuit says. It says, in its lawsuit against Colorado, Judicial Watch argues, one, a 2019 study showed that 40 of Colorado's 64 counties had voter registration rates exceeding 100% of the eligible citizen voting age population. The share of Colorado counties with registration rates exceeding 100% was the highest in the nation. Maybe that's what the gold standard's all about, Steve.
Yeah, you would need to define gold standard, people.
I think that gold standard may be a little tarnished. Continue on. Number two. Data Colorado itself provided to the Federal Election Assistance Commission showed that Colorado was lagging in the processing and removal of certain classes of ineligible registrations belonging to those who'd moved out of state. Number three, in the last 2 years, 60 of Colorado's 64 counties had a higher percentage of inactive registrations than the national median. And number four, in eight Colorado counties, more than one in six registrations belong to an inactive voter. Says Judicial Watch notes that registration rates over 100%, poor processing of out-of-date registrations, and high levels of inactive registrations indicate an ongoing systemic problem with Colorado's voter list maintenance efforts. Colorado's failure to comply with their voter list maintenance obligations injures lawfully registered voters by undermining their confidence in the integrity of the electoral process, discouraging their participation in the democratic process, and instilling in them the fear that their legitimate votes will be nullified or diluted. Judicial Watch has asked the court to declare that Colorado and its Secretary of State are violating the National Voting Rights Act and to order them to develop and implement a general program that makes a reasonable effort to remove the registrations of ineligible registrants from the voter rolls in Colorado. I have got to think that 90% of all Coloradans want to make sure that these voter rolls are clean and that we know that our elections are free, fair, and honest. And one has to, first of all, ask why Jenna Griswold, Secretary of State, she's becoming pretty famous, it seems like, to do a variety of different things to negate your voice, to nullify your voice. Because when we have illegal voting going on, when we're not cleaning up our voter rolls, what that does is that nullifies everyday hardworking Coloradans' votes. And we must demand that we are moving towards our free, fair, and honest elections. And it looks to me like Colorado is the gold standard in, I don't know quite what word I want to say, but it's a gold standard in ways to circumvent everyday hardworking people's votes.
Well, she got my attention in the wrong way when she started this mess. And she said, basically, we don't need any hoax investigations here. And again, what would she have to lose by having an investigation if everything was on the up and up? But I just keep going back. When your enemy's digging a hole, hand him a shovel.
Yeah. Well, you have to ask why. And it's on a whole bunch of different items around the election. She continues to come in. She made some new rules that look to me like they're probably unconstitutional. We'll find out what the courts think about that probably. We look at the Dominion machines with what's happening with the county clerk and recorder out in Mesa County, where she has shown proof, or it looks like she's shown proof, that after the trusted build that is occurring in all of our different counties with coming in and doing, quote-unquote, a trusted build on the Dominion machines under the guise of getting them ready for the 2021 election, that actually some of those logs disappeared. And so it seems like Colorado, I think Colorado, that many things that the radical activists left wants to float throughout the country. It's occurring here in Colorado. And one of the reasons, I think, is because of our demographics. And under the blueprint, the radical activists realized that if you can take the metro counties here, the Front Range counties, in an election, you can pretty well control the state. The positive thing is now that we understand the game, we as conservatives, those of us who want to conserve this American idea, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, we need to do the hard work to reclaim this state. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Brigitte Gabriel. Can't wait to talk with her. As a young girl, her home was destroyed when she was 10 years old, and when she lived in Lebanon by a terrorist bombing. And so she's really been sounding the alarm about what is happening in America. She founded the organization Act for America, and can't wait to hear what she has to say about what is happening in our world today. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And we're going to have Brigitte Gabriel on here in just a moment. She is Oh, I've got it right here. She is... Aha. I had all my papers here. Hold on just one second. I had exactly how they wanted me to introduce her. She is the National Security Analyst, a New York Times bestselling author, and chairman and founder of Act for America. And her latest bestseller is Rise. And she, as at the age of 10 years old, her home was bombed, and she was wounded. She was buried under the rubble, and she had to go out under the hail of snipers' bullets and actually forage for food. And she lived like that for probably 7 years, so basically her young adulthood. She got to America eventually. And as she's looked at it, she's realized that America has been under attack, both from without and we're seeing from within. And it's been a while since I've talked with her. Things have changed significantly. Brigitte Gabrielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Delighted to be back with you.
It's always good to talk with you. Brigitte, I never really dreamed that we would be where we are right now with what happened in Afghanistan, the loss of our 12 Marines and our Navy corpsmen. The debacle of getting out of Afghanistan, the threat to America. You have been talking about this for quite some time. What's your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I've been talking about this for so long, and I wish people listened. But, you know, Kim, we have learned that the Biden administration is not listening to anybody, just like what Obama did. We used to warn Obama about what's happening with our radical Islamic enemy, and he did not listen. And now, basically, under Biden, you are witnessing a third Obama presidency. And the horrifying images right now coming out of Afghanistan, where they told us, you know, this administration has been wrong on so many levels, including the Taliban's. Oh, even though we left them Black Hawks and helicopters and all that, they don't know how to fly them. They don't know how to do with them. Right now, the world is watching how the Taliban's have learned to fly our Black Hawks that the U.S. left behind, and now they are using it for public revenge hanging, where they're hanging people on them and flying them. It is horrifying images, but the most important thing right now is we need to bring every single American left behind. It is unconscionable that America would leave American citizens stranded behind enemy lines, literally handing them to the enemy to be killed and just turn our back onto them. We must bring every American home. I encourage people to go to our website, actforamerica.org, sign our petition, Leave No American Behind. We're working with members of Congress right now. We're working with Special Operation who are going in and trying to rescue Americans. Go to actforamerica.org, click on Leave No American Behind on our petition on the homepage. We need you engaged and we need you involved.
Brigitte, I find the narrative interesting coming out of the Biden administration. And actually, we're calling it the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice, Jarrett administration now, as we look at this. That they have started this narrative that all Americans that want to get out of Afghanistan will get out. And the way I possibly see this playing out, first of all, they've given a list of our Americans and those that helped us to the Taliban. What on earth why would you ever do something like that? But then if, in fact, all of these Americans are hunted down and perish, then there's no way that they can say, we actually really did want to get out. I see a very sinister narrative on that, Brigitte.
Well, it is terrible. I mean, this administration trusted the Taliban. I mean, they were so gullible as to turn to them the names of all our American citizens and those who worked with us that we wanted to get out and say, okay, here's the names that we want. Please make sure these people get out. I mean, they are that gullible, Kim. They are that gullible. But what I'm afraid of is right now, we really do not know how many Americans are left behind. We really do not know. I mean, the administration now is saying, oh, we only have about 100 people left. It's not really that many. We got most of them out. Total baloney. I mean, in the beginning, just a week ago, we heard numbers like 10,000 Americans are trapped behind enemy lines. And then it went up to 15,000 Americans trapped behind enemy lines. And then it went up to 40,000 Americans trapped behind enemy lines. Because it's not only the military. It is also contractors with private companies who are there working on either building bridges, building mosques, building schools, building universities, whatever it is, they are doing their working in construction, including building homes. So the military would not know who these people are, because any employee who went into Afghanistan for work for a private corporation did not register with the embassy, hey, we're here. The same thing goes to people who went to visit family. A lot of American Afghanis, knowing that America was growing out of Afghanistan, went to the, and took their family to make sure they visit grandma or grandpa or whatever extended family for the last time, knowing that America is leaving. Those people are trapped in there, and we also do not know how many of them are there. So the 100 people left behind is a total baloney, with the administration trying to bring the number down as to minimize the tragedy that we are leaving behind. And we're not going to know what's going to happen to these people, how many of them are going to be slaughtered, unless the Taliban televise it out of sheer bragging rights, trying to earn brownie points on the radical Islamist jihadi streets. They're not, if they don't televise it, we're not going to know how many Americans they kill. And we truly are not going to know the fate of the majority of the people stranded behind, either those who worked for us as informants or those who are American citizens left behind.
What I find so interesting, though, is the Biden administration, I think, has actually not really thought about American ingenuity. I find it absolutely fascinating that we have American businessmen and hiring retired special forces going in and rescuing Americans. And it just truly shows the ineptness of the Biden administration. However, I could not believe that they would be that inept. It's almost like this is on purpose, Brigitte.
They are that inept because they did not realize that the Taliban's are going to turn against them like that. They underestimated the enemy, and this goes up to even the top brass. It's like the blind leading the blind. I mean, we are finding out that, but this is what happens, Kim, after decades of brainwashing our military and brainwashing the top brass, not really the people who are doing the fighting, but the top brass who have become so political. Remember, they're like political appointees, basically. They are so political up there. All they care about is what's my next lobbying job is going to be, what lobbying company I'm going to work for, how much am I going to make as a lobbyist, or how much, what my next rank is going to be. It's totally political on the top. So basically, the decision that they made is basically in line with this administration, dealing with the Taliban, understanding the Taliban. Look, when you had the commander in charge of U.S. military troops in Afghanistan being shocked as to how fast the Afghani army surrendered to the Taliban or basically defected, how could you call yourself a general? I don't care if you are a 3-star, 4-star, 100-star general. I don't really care. The fact that you are that blind to have accepted or gave yourself, believed the lie that you taught yourself, that the Afghanis are actually a legitimate army who are going to stand with the United States out of sheer loyalty for our blue eyes and blonde hair, that they're not going to surrender to the Taliban. But it goes to show you the blindness, the lack of preparedness, the incompetence. There's no other word other than incompetence on the top level. Look, Kim, the United States military, led by the brass of the military, has not been able to win a war in 3/4 of a century. 3/4 of a century. The truth is not pretty, but it's about time we face the truth, because maybe we need to bring some Taliban fighters to West Point to teach our generals how to win wars again, because right now the wusses we have on top of our military are too cowards and too inept to win wars and to protect our men and women in uniform, who are now laying their life on the line going privately to save citizens and save allies who worked with us, who worked with them, protected their life, and worked with them while they served in Afghanistan.
Well, yesterday I had retired Major General Joe Arbuckle on, and there is they have put together letters. So far, 90 flag officers, generals and admirals have signed it that are calling for the resignation of Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin, our Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I asked him if this had ever occurred before, and this is unprecedented, but I am very pleased that many of our generals and admirals are stepping up to the plate and asking for those resignations, Brigitte.
Absolutely, and God bless them, because they are the old guards. They are the ones who are saying, "This America is better than this. This is not what we fought. This is not the military that we serve. This is not the country that we laid our life on the line to protect and serve. We don't do that to our allies, and that's why they're doing that. And I can tell you, there is such a movement to basically fire Milley, you know, get rid of them. We've got a petition on our website that we put out. People can find it on our social media. That's been signed, I think, now by almost 1 million people calling for their firing. People are livid. People are upset. They want them gone. We deserve better as a country. Our soldiers deserve better from their leaders who are sending them to war. Blinken needs to go. Austin needs to go. Milley needs to go. We need to get rid of them. And I am so glad to see retired generals, retired military officers are saying, enough is enough. We deserve better. We're adding our name to make sure these people leave. But thankfully, they have the freedom to do that. Look what happened to the officer who basically did a video post, the Marine, calling his leaders into accountability. He got fired. He got relieved from his duty. So those who are on active duties are fearing for their career. So it takes somebody like retired military generals and officers to do that.
to actually speak, because yesterday we had talked about the forced vaccinations of our military with former Army Medical Service Corps Captain Pam Long. And I had a listener that reached out to me, and she said that she thinks that there will be a lawsuit on this, because yesterday morning was when this forced jab started to occur in the military. And a listener reached out and said that you have to take those orders. And I find that we're in such a remarkable time right now, Brigitte, because we always want to make sure that those orders make sense, and that we're striving for this goal of standing up against tyranny with our military. And when that doesn't occur, I mean, we've got a real problem right now, I think, Brigitte.
It is a major problem. And you know, the terrifying thing is, two people made the decision to vaccinate our whole military, Biden and the Secretary of Defense. Those are the two people that made the decision, and that's why now all our military have to be vaccinated. Unacceptable. You cannot. It's unconstitutional to force people to put an experimental drug in their bodies, let alone when it comes to our military. These are the people that we depend on to defend our country. These are the people we want them to be healthy, checked, in tip-top shape. The last thing we need to do is mess with their immune system and mess with them putting an experimental drug in their body. Because let's face it, these drugs are experimental. They are still in the experimental phase. If these drugs were tested, if this is 5 years after the vaccine has been developed, fine. It's okay. Okay, we understand. They want to make sure the military is safe. But not at this point. You cannot force somebody to take an experimental drug. And I'm glad, and I am sure we're going to see a lot of lawsuits, because it is unconstitutional to do that.
Well, and we hope that our courts then will actually uphold the Constitution as well. Brigitte, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Brigitte Gabriel. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is one of those great partners of mine that brings this show to you on a regular basis, and we greatly appreciate them. Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, owned by entrepreneurs, that is Hal Van Herke and Linnea Van Herke, and they have such a beautiful arrangement of all of these different knives. So whether or not you are a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool has the knife for you. They also are bringing in a beautiful couple of beautiful lines of watches as well. So they're always thinking about new entrepreneurial ideas. Be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Brigitte Gabriel.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am so pleased to have on the line with me Brigitte Gabriel. She's a national security analyst, a New York Times bestselling author, and she's the founder and chairman of actforamerica.org. Her latest bestseller is Rise. And Brigitte, before we continue the conversation, I would encourage everyone to go to actforamerica.org. And you can actually sign this letter that you have there to leave no American behind, bring them home. And as I'm looking at the number of actions that have been taken, it's over 500,000, which I find absolutely amazing. But it is to work with Congress to take action now to get our people home. We can see the private sector is over there. The private sector always works better than government, right, Brigitte, as we're looking at it? Okay. Well, we'll continue on here. We must have lost Brigitte here. So I will continue on while Steve gets her back on the line there. But as we are seeing that private enterprise is actually, it seems like they're doing a better job on getting our people out than government is right now. And it is against our military code to leave a man behind. It is unbelievable that we would leave citizens behind, Brigitte.
Absolutely. Look, you know, American business ingenuity. This is what made America great. I know of many right now, retired Navy SEALs that are members of my organization, Act for America, who have chartered private planes. And as we speak, Kim, as you and I are on the phone, they are over there right now trying to rescue Americans. Thank God for people like that. That's what America is all about. That bravery. That's why they call us the land of the free and home of the brave. We do have the brave. We just have a military brass that is Russified and has become political right now. But the brave are doing their job to continue making America proud, and they are not going to leave any American behind. And that's why we're working very hard to pressure Congress and saying, look, whatever you have to do, whatever, we will not rest until we make sure Americans are brought home. I mean, you don't want to be in that position, Kim. I don't want to be in that position. If my children are there, I want to make sure my government does everything they can to bring them home. And God bless our retired forces who are now doing the job that our government should have done to ensure the safety and security of Americans.
Okay, Brigitte, you work on Capitol Hill a lot. And it used to be that we had what were called blue dog Democrats, more moderate Democrats. But it looks to me like I don't see them anymore. And it seems like the radical activists have taken over the Democrat Party. But you're there on Capitol Hill. Do we have Democrats that are starting to say, whoa, hold on, wait a minute, this is hurting America? Are you seeing any of that in any of your conversations?
Not really, because they are all afraid and they are all covering up for each other, even though we know that privately they are going to leadership and they are going, look, this is unacceptable. I mean, this whole disaster, this has turned into a disaster. And look, there are Democrats who love our country. I mean, they don't want to see the bodies of 20-year-old Marines being brought from Afghanistan, blown up to smithereens by bombs while they're trying to secure the airport. So there are those Democrats out there. But the good thing about the Democratic Party is when they speak to the rest of the world, they speak as a united front. They're very different than the Republicans who stab themselves in the back like the rhinos stabbing the conservatives. The Democrats are a different story. But that's why when we send out an action alert, Kim, and we tell people sign our action alert and it's directed to all members of Congress, the reason why it's important for even your lefty members of Congress to hear from you is because they need cover when they go to Schumer and Pelosi. the leadership in Congress, they can say to them, look, I'm going to lose my position next year in the next election if I continue speaking and you know, going along those lines. Look what my constituents are saying. Therefore, I need to modernize a little bit and I need to back up a little bit from this position. So we need to put the pressure on them to give them cover to go to their leadership and say, look, I can't do this. I'm going to lose my job. So this is why your phone calls to your members of Congress are important, even though they are Democrats. I know a lot of Republicans are very hesitant to say, oh, why should I even call a Democrat? They're not going to listen to me. It's a waste of my breath. No, it is not a waste of your breath. Your voice is important. We need to make sure they hear from you, because rest assured that the Democrats are calling every single Republican and putting the pressure on them. That's exactly why our people are spineless, because the Republicans get punched so hard by the Democrats all the time about all issues. That's why they're always scared. Our side doesn't apply pressure on the Democrats whatsoever. We only apply pressure on the Republicans, and that needs to change.
It does need to change. And as you were doing this, speaking here, Brigitte, I am at your website and I am signing up. And it's pretty easy that you will go ahead and once you sign up, you will send an email to Senator Hickenlooper and Senator Bennett. And it doesn't take more than about a minute to make that happen. And so I'd highly recommend that people do that.
Exactly. And we make it so easy, Kim. As you can see, we connect you directly with a click of a button, your email. We even write the email for you. You don't even have to think about the email. We have it professionally written. That will be with a click of a button sent to your members of Congress, your elected officials. With a click of a button, you can sign a petition. You can even post it on your Facebook so your friends can see it and they can be tagged. You can post it on Twitter. You can post it on Gab. You can post it on all the other social media that's out there. You can call them. We provide you with their phone number, even with a script what to say when you call. Look, we know people are busy and people, you know, sometimes are afraid or intimidated. They do not know what to say. We make it so easy for everybody to take action. Even if you don't have a Facebook or you don't have social media, you can click skip and go to the next item until you get to the phone call to call them. Everybody can take action. We make it so easy. We want to empower every single American to become a voice affecting their community and our nation, and we make it so easy. We leave no excuse to anybody not to take action and be counted.
Well, and also, I'm going through this, it says call them. So you've got their phone numbers here. I'd highly recommend all of you today go to actforamerica.org. Brigitte, we're getting to the end of the show here. Before we get into that, I find it so interesting that if Hillary Clinton would have been elected instead of Donald Trump, that probably would have been the third term for Obama. We're now looking at the third term of Obama with Biden. But the fact that Trump came in and really kind of upset their apple cart is something that has given me hope. And if the American people had not shown up at the 2020 election, we would not have seen all of this potential election integrity issues that are really coming forward. What's your thoughts about that, Brigitte?
It's very important to become engaged. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. President Trump basically symbolized a movement. It doesn't stop with one man. President Trump served our country and did an incredible job. But just because President Trump is no longer president, it does not mean that 75 or 100 million people are completely vanished. We are here. This is our movement. We are the people who want to put America first. We are the people who believe in an exceptional America. We are the people who put President Trump in office. We are the people who can continue this movement. It doesn't matter who our leader is, whether it's President Trump, whether it's Ron DeSantis, whether it's Donald Trump Jr. It doesn't matter who comes after President Trump or whether President Trump himself comes back in 2024. We, the people, are the people who make and put America first. We are not dead. We are alive. And we want people to go to act justforamerica.org. Sign up and join us. Start a chapter in your community. Start a group in your community. If you don't have the time to start the group, look, if you can get 3-4 people who feel the same way you do, start a small group. We will mentor you. We will guide you. We will teach you what to do. We'll give you all the tools you need to mobilize your community. If you want to join a chapter, sign up. We will connect you with a chapter in your community, with a group in your community. If you start your own group, we will connect you with people who want to join a group. We are mobilizing people to become engaged and to become active. Just get involved, take action, go to our website, actforamerica.org. We named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not hope for America, not wish for America, not pray for America, but act for America. Because you can hope and wish and pray and think about America, and you should, but without taking action, nothing happens. Go to actforamerica.org, sign up to get our emails, sign up to start a group, sign up to join a group. We need you engaged.
Well, that's for sure. And again, that is actforamerica.org. And Brigitte, we have 1 minute left. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
The final thought is, we need to hold our leaders accountable. Do not give up, throw up the white towel and think, what's going to matter right now? The country's gone. I hear a lot of people who are very frustrated with the situation. Don't give up. 2% of the passionate will always overrule the 98% indifferent. Take your passion and do something with it. Instead of complaining to your neighbor, do something about it. Hold your elected officials responsible. Show up to their town hall meetings. Call them on the phone. Schedule an appointment with them. If you are embarrassed to do it, then form a group and appoint somebody who's not embarrassed to do it, who can speak on your behalf and represent you. Now is the time we need to stand up to defend our country and hold our elected officials responsible. It's important they hear from you, no matter who they are. Remember, they put on their pants in the morning the same way you do. They are no different than you. This is what's wonderful about America. This is what's exceptional about America. America is not lost. America is not finished. We're just going through a little bump in the road, but we do have hope because America is a spirit. It's not a geographical location. We have that spirit. We need to fight for it to keep it alive.
Totally agree with you, Brigitte Gabrielle. Thank you for those words of hope, and thank you so much. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you.
And our quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. He said, when the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.